Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. Today we'll join the White House as Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre issues a statement addressing those still insisting that the 2020 presidential election results were tampered with. Such statements by officials are only creating more conflict in the country, President Biden states. So we'll join them now live at the White House.
And so I will stay beyond that time as long as we can. But again, apologies for starting late. Okay, as you all know, the president has long talked about our nation being at an inflection point. He has been clear, democracy is under assault, and we cannot pretend otherwise. The president will continue to call attention to the threat to democratic integrity and to public safety posed by those who deny the documented truth about election results and those who seek to undermine public faith in our system of government. Unfortunately, we have seen mega MAGA Republican officials who don't believe in the rule of law. They refuse to accept the results of free and fair elections, and they fan the flames of political violence through what they praise and what they refuse to condemn. It remains important for the president to state strongly and unequivocally that violence has no place in our democracy. He believes other leaders of both parties, on both sides, have a responsibility to communicate this very clearly as well. The president has been emphatic and optimistic that Americans care about protecting our democracy. He has consistently talked about the fact that America has emerged stronger from some of our darkest moments. And today, there are far more Americans of every background and every belief who reject the dangerous path of political violence than accept it. The president will continue to speak about the challenges facing our democracy and his enduring belief that America will persevere. He'll also keep acting to address political violence, including by continued implementation of the first ever national strategy for countering domestic terrorism that he released in June of 2021. Now, President Biden has made it his top economic priority to lower costs for American families, and he has been delivering. He's beaten Big Pharma, and Medicare is negotiating lower prescription drug prices as well. Gas prices have come down by $1.25 per gallon since June, and Medicare premiums are down as well. Yesterday was our first day of open enrollment set season, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, which congressional Republicans want to repeal. That's the first thing that they want to do. 4 out of 5 consumers can find a plan that costs $10 or less a month. Additionally, 13 million Americans will continue to save an average of $800 a year on coverage. And today we're announcing additional actions to lower food and heating costs for American families. The Vice President will be in Boston this evening to announce that we're making billions of dollars available this winter to help bring down home heating bills for low-income families all across the country. We're also making nearly $9 billion through the Inflation Reduction Act available to states and tribes to help families make their homes more energy efficient. And the Department of Agriculture is helping bring down food prices at the grocery store through new measures to expand meat and poultry processing capacity. Altogether, these actions and others will provide families a little extra breathing room. You hear the president say that often. And they are in stark contrast to the plans Republicans in Congress have cooked up to drive up costs. Congressional Republicans want to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act, which gives us the ability to lower drug prices and that utility CEOs have said will bring monthly energy bills down. They oppose the release of oil from reserves, which multiple industry analysts have said is helping bring prices down at the pump. They're going to bat for big oil, even as they pad the pockets of shareholders and keep gas prices up for American families. They want to raise the age of Social Security benefits and put the program that so many people work so hard for, alongside Medicare, on the chopping block. And they want to restore disastrous tax cuts for the rich. The bottom line is the president is committed to helping families right now, while Republicans officials are committed to raising costs and chilling for Big Pharma and Big Oil. Lastly, this afternoon, in a few minutes, the president will take part in the culminating event for the Talent Pipeline Challenge, which brings together more than 300 partners to expand workforce development for jobs created by bipartisan infrastructure law, along with the CHIPS and Science Act, Inflation Reduction Act, and the American Rescue Plan. The event comes amid a resurgence of American infrastructure projects and manufacturing driven by the president's economic agenda. The bipartisan infrastructure law, CHIPS and Science Act, and Inflation Reduction Act will create millions of good-paying jobs, and the challenge is helping create pathways for all Americans to fill those jobs. At today's event, the White House will host CEOs, union presidents, community college presidents, philanthropic leaders, and others who have made commitments to this very challenge. With that, Sungmin, you want to kick us off?
Two quick topics. On this speech tonight, can you discuss why this speech is considered a political event that's being organized by the DNC versus the similar speech in Philadelphia, which was an official White House event?
Yes, that's a good question. Look, we're less than a week out, as you all know, from the midterms election. I do want to be careful about talking about elections here from this podium. We do believe in the rule of law in this administration. And so, but we are seeing, as I just mentioned in my topper, an alarming number of Republican officials suggest they will not accept the results of this election. So we've also seen recent political violence that is similarly alarming, disturbing, and that rhetoric continues. The president believes that it is a moment of reckoning. This is not a regular moment in our democracy. This is not a regular moment in time. And this is, as the president has said many times, we are in an inflection point. And he's going to call it all out, like he did in very direct terms. And he talked about it just last night in front of 3,000 people in southern Florida. So you'll hear from him. I'm not going to get ahead of the president, but this is why we see this as an important moment tonight.
And on Elon Musk's Twitter, I'm wondering what impact the White House will be that his takeover of Twitter is having on political discourse at this point, and also whether the White House would actually pay $8 a month to make sure his accounts were verified.
So on your first question, so look, I don't believe it's an issue that made it to the president's desk yet, not a conversation that the president is aware of. As you know, we're focused on many things, including this evening, but clearly we'll let you know if anything changes and certainly give you all an update.
What about on the second?
Can you say the second question again? Was it about?
You have to pay $8 a month to make sure you're...
Well, I know, I just answered that particular thing. You know, that's something for the president that we need to talk to the president about. Certainly has not come across his desk, and so as soon as anything changes on that, we certainly will share that information. Go ahead.
You mentioned we're less than a week out. A logistical question. What does the president plan to do on election night? Will he be here monitoring results?
That's a good question. We will share more when we have that. I don't have anything about his schedule, about him traveling, but certainly we will certainly share more on what his day will look like on November 8th, next Tuesday, less than a week away.
And you have said the president will deliver remarks after the election, the day after. Should we expect some kind of formal remarks, or did you just mean that he will find some kind of way to weigh in?
Well, I'm saying that you'll certainly hear from the president. He will give remarks. I don't know yet what it will look like, but certainly you will hear from the president the day after the election.
Are those remarks with questions?
I know, you guys always ask me this. I don't want to get ahead of it, but you will certainly hear from the president after the election day. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Karine. Along those lines, in this final stretch, the president is traveling to California, Chicago, New York, Maryland. Aren't these pretty safe Democratic strongholds? Why would those be his destination?
New Mexico tomorrow. He's going to Philly on Saturday. So he will be out there. If there's more travel to share, we certainly will share them. But look, the president, it's not just, I know you're talking about the last couple of days, but the president has been out on the road nonstop. I know I am very tired. We got in pretty late last night. And I've done many of the trips with him, and he has been nonstop, and he'll continue to do that. We will certainly have more travel to share in the upcoming days, and you'll see where he'll be going.
But Maryland, for example, where he'll be campaigning with Wes Moore, he'll show Moore beating his opponent 2-1 at this point. Why does he need the president's help?
So I'm going to be really careful about getting into any kind of punditry from here, political politics from here. But look, the president believes this is an important time. The American public has a choice. There is a choice in front of them. And there are many places to have those conversations and lay that out for the American people. And that choice is very clear. Do you want a congressional Democrat and a president that's working every day to deliver for the American people? Or do you want congressional Republicans who are doing the complete opposite, who want to increase energy costs, who want to increase your health care premiums? And we feel that there are many places where he can have that conversation. There are many places where it's going to be important for the American people to hear directly from the President of the United States. But let's not forget, he's going to New Mexico tomorrow. He's going to Pennsylvania. As you all know, he's been to Pennsylvania a few times. He was just in Florida in front of 3,000 people last night, which was an important conversation and an event to have. I want to be very careful here and not to get into politics or elections. So I'm going to leave it there without the... Again, we believe in the rule of law, so we want to be careful. Go ahead.
Thanks, Green. The White House removed a tweet that talked about the increase in Social Security benefits in 2023 through President Biden's leadership. There was a contextual note, I'm not sure what the proper terminology is for the platform, that was added to that. Was it removed because of the addition of the note, or was it removed because of the concern about the veracity of the message?
So it was, the tweet was not complete. Usually when we put out a tweet, we post it with context, and it did not have that context. So in the past, we pointed out that for the first time in over a decade, seniors' Medicare premiums will decrease even as their Social Security checks increase. That's a little bit of context that was not included. This means that seniors will have a chance to get ahead of inflation due to the rare combination of rising benefits and falling premiums. And let's not forget, as you've been hearing me say for the past few minutes, about MAGA Republicans in Congress and their continued threat to threaten Social Security and Medicare, proposing to put them on the chopping blocks every 5 years, threatening benefits and to change eligibility. So those are the types of context that would normally be with a tweet like that. It did not have that context. It was an incomplete tweet, as I just mentioned, and so that's why you saw the digital team take that action.
And I think part of the reason I asked, the president mentioned a similar type of thing in both of his events yesterday, saying on my watch in one case, on our watch in the other case, and I included the Medicare piece of this that you're talking about back in. Do you believe that as long as the Medicare piece is included, that's not claiming credit for something that's quite literally tied to?
We believe that we want to lay our argument out fully, and that was important to do as we put out information like that, or as we put out a tweet, and that was an incomplete tweet. So we do think it is important to do.
Okay, thank you. Does the White House think that another rate hike from the Fed will be positive for the economy or negative?
So as you know, and you hear us say this many times, the Fed is independent. It's an independent agency, and we believe, the president believes, that it has the best monetary policies to address inflation, and they are also the chairman, Chair Powell, is committed to that very kind of charge that is ahead of them. I don't want to comment on it. I know it. The meeting may be happening right now as I'm standing in front of you, so don't want to get ahead of it. It's not something that we comment from here, but as you know.
On a separate issue, does the White House have a reaction to newly disclosed emails showing that former President Trump's attorney saw Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas as their best hope for overturning President Biden's victory in 2020?
Well, I saw those reports right before I walked out to the podium, and my understanding is that those emails are being reviewed by the January 6th committee. As we know, the January 6th committee is doing incredibly important work to get to the bottom of what happened on January 6th, which, as you heard the president say, was one of our darkest days in our nation's history. It was, as we all know and we all saw and you all reported, an attack on our democracy. So we will defer to the committee on this investigation. I don't want to get ahead of that, but I, as far as I know, I understand they are reviewing the email.
And that was White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre reporting on the president's latest statements. One of the issues addressed during that press conference was the acquiring of Twitter by Elon Musk. It was reported today from New York and Baltimore that leaders of three of the nation's top civil rights organizations today chided new Twitter owner Elon Musk for the, quote, painful and shocking increase in hate speech since Musk took the helm and the helm of the platform and demanded a meeting to address their concerns. National Urban League President and CEO Mark H. Morial, NAACP President and CEO Derek Johnson, and National Action Network President and Founder Reverend Al Sharpton said in a letter to Elon Musk that, quote, he might have unwittingly freed people to unleash the worst of human nature, with communities of color and religious minorities bearing the greatest burden, unquote. In the days after Elon Musk became Twitter's largest shareholder and declared, quote, the bird is freed, the platform saw nearly a 500% spike in the use of the racial epithet nigger, yes, the N-word. The leaders noted that online hate speech, misinformation, disinformation, and the reckless sowing of political and social chaos have consequences for democracy, civil rights, and public safety. Whether or not you realize it, as the new leader of Twitter, you have new responsibilities, and one of those responsibilities is to ensure your platform is not used to harm people and the nation as a whole, the leaders wrote. So we will share that full letter coming to Elon Musk from the leaders of NAACP, National Urban League, and the National Action Network. And it states, Dear Mr. Musk, as leaders of organizations that represent communities of color and religious minorities, we are alarmed by the rise in white supremacist propaganda and racial and religious hatred on the Twitter platform over the weekend. To this end, we request a meeting with you to address our concerns and better understand your content moderation plan to protect our communities against abuse on Twitter by those who seek not to simply express controversial views, but who seek to harm us and undermine our democracy. As you must know, Twitter saw a nearly 500% spike in the use of the racial epithet nigger, quote, in recent days. This painful and shocking increase in hate comes on the heels of you becoming the new owner of Twitter, a platform that remains one of our nation's most powerful communication tools. and flippantly declaring that, quote, the bird is freed, you might have unwittingly freed people to unleash the worst of human nature with communities of color and religious minorities bearing the greatest burden. And as we have seen over the last several years, online behavior has offline impact, including leading to violence and harassment online and otherwise. Whether you realize it or not, as the new leader of Twitter, you have new responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities is to ensure your platform is not used to harm people and the nation as a whole. Another responsibility is to ensure your own words and behavior do not cause harm, especially to the communities of color and other underserved communities who have long been long-time users and have made the company what it is today. You have not shown a willingness to meet these responsibilities thus far, but we have hope and are willing to work with you to do so in the future. In your October 27th statement, directed at Twitter advertisers, you said that you acquired Twitter so that the wide range of beliefs can be debated in a healthy manner without resorting to violence. We share those values and a belief in the importance of free speech as well, but the fact remains that online activities, particularly the spread of hate speech, misinformation, disinformation, and users that post content with the intent of sowing social and political chaos, have grave consequences for our democracy, civil rights, and public safety. Therefore, you must have an affirmative strategy to ensure your platform is not used to of those who intentionally or recklessly promote violence. We need you to have strong content moderation standards that foster a safe and healthy online environment. Upon your completed acquisition of Twitter, last announced that the platform will form a, quote, content moderation council that will have widely diverse viewpoints. Numerous reports simultaneously indicated that you plan to lay off a significant percentage of Twitter. While it is unclear what impacts this will have, we strongly urge you to maintain content moderation teams that are tasked with creating and implementing policies that provide a baseline for prohibiting content designed to threaten and harass people of color and religious minorities and suppress votes. Indeed, we encourage you to strengthen these policies as there have been a rise in dangerous rhetoric and violent acts that threaten our community's abilities to vote and otherwise fully participate in our society without fear for our safety. This is especially concerning as we are only days from the midterm elections and have witnessed time and time again the negative impacts unchecked voter disinformation and threats have had on communities of color. Moreover, when we meet, in addition to ensuring that you are implementing and enforcing strong content moderation standards, we are also interested in your plans to employ a workforce and contract with suppliers that reflect the diversity of the nation at all levels of leadership and across all functions of Twitter. Until then, we implore you to show immediate leadership by directly addressing the spike in hate speech that occurred over the weekend and to discourage vigorously and clearly those who would be influenced by your voice from using such speech in the future and from engaging in violence against anyone. To schedule a meeting with the signatories of this letter, please have your team contact the National Urban League's president and CEO, Mark Morial, via his chief of staff, Tina P. Pizzamenti at presidentoffice@nul.org. Sincerely, Mark H. Morial, President and Chief Executive Officer, National Urban League. Derek Johnson, President and Chief Executive Officer, NAACP. Reverend Al Sharpton, Founder and President, National Action Network. So this is the letter in its entirety to the new owner of Twitter, the majority shareholder, Elon Musk. What are your thoughts about this reaching out? You can give us a call at 515-605-9749 and state your thoughts regarding this letter by three leaders of major civil rights organizations seeking to appeal to Elon Musk to influence those who have used Twitter as a platform to issue what sounds like hate speech. Go to www.blogtalkradio.com/onairdailynews and leave your comments about this issue, and we'll share them with our listening audience on tomorrow's newscast. How does social media impact behavior and attitudes? What responsibilities do people have who use social media? What should those who own social media platforms establish in terms of a standard? We welcome your response to today's newscast. And we welcome your reports of those who have chosen to take a stand regarding their use of social media. There are a number of platforms that people can use. It is a choice. Or they can choose to stay off of social media. No one forces anyone to use any of these platforms, be they Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Whatever media outlet has been made available, it is the people who control its power. What is it that people wish to have stated publicly? What statements are people willing to expose to themselves that may be helpful or harmful? This is a question brought on by today's discussion by the three leaders of major civil rights organizations that are taking it upon themselves to address Elon Musk. We certainly do look forward to an update from Mark Morial of the National Urban League, Derek Johnson, President and Chief Executive Officer of NAACP, and Reverend Al Sharpton, who is the founder and president of the National Action Network. Well, that's all for today. We appreciate you listening to today's newscast. Join us again tomorrow at www.blogtalkradio.com/onairdailynews. Leave your comments about issues addressed in today's newscast and call in with your good news tips. Those that you see are making good things happen and putting a smile on someone's face. 515-605-9749. We'd be happy to share them with our listening audience. As always, remember your responsibility as a citizen to select the leadership you trust. Till tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your day.